Welcome to Hype, Hypeable.com's flagship show, bringing you all the latest entertainment news, theories, opinions, discussions, and interviews. My name is Selena, and I'm very excited to bring you our big interview with Cass Morgan, the author of The 100 Book Series, who just released the fourth novel in the series titled Rebellion. Before we start the interview, I just wanted to let you know if you had any comments or questions for us about this podcast, or if you want to find out more about the kind of content that we do, please follow us on Twitter, which is at HypeableHype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can send us an email at hype@hypeable.com, and you can find us on Hypeable, which is hypable.com, and you can find us in the podcast section. Also, beware that there are plot spoilers for Rebellion in this podcast. They don't start straight away. It's not like we jump in and are like, oh my god, this is what happens, but we do talk about it, and just be sure that you have read it or that you don't mind being spoiled for it, because we do dive pretty heavily into that. But as I said, not like at the very beginning. Thank you so much to Cass Morgan for taking the time to participate in this interview, and I hope that you all enjoy. Feel bad saying like it's interesting, but it's so different from any other fandom I've ever been involved with.
Yeah, the passion, it's sort of humbling that people are so invested in this world and these characters. It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. But so I guess since we've kind of like unofficially started already, just diving straight into it, I guess we should just really quickly just introducing who you are,
absolutely,
and who I am and what is happening right now. So obviously my name is Selena, as you know, and I write for hypeable.com, and I also have this podcast called Hype Podcast. And you know, I've wanted to get you on actually for a long time, because I mean, it's just we've kind of tangentially been known each other on Twitter, and this The 100 fandom is, like we were just saying, such a beast and such an amazing thing that it would be really fun to talk to you about that. But who are you? Who am I speaking to right now?
This is Cass Morgan, the author of the 100 series, which was the inspiration for the CW show of the same name. And I am just delighted to be here and talking to you, Selena. I've been admiring your articles and your tweets, and it was just a matter of time before we got to chat. So I'm really excited about this.
Yes, this has been, it's been a long time coming. It's so exciting. So I guess to start at the beginning, I've always wondered, like ever since I started getting involved with The 100, both the show and your books, and I'm sorry if this has been asked a million times before, but I would love to know what the process was of the book and the show being in development almost simultaneously, because the book came first, right?
Is that how it went? So I got in touch with a company called Alloy, and they are a creative think tank, and they come up with really fun high concept ideas for books, and they were behind Gossip Girl and The Vampire Diaries. So they approached me with an idea for a book about 100 kids who are sent from a space station down to recolonize Earth, and they asked me if that might be something I'd be interested in, and I said yes it was. And they gave me so much freedom and to come up with the characters and the world. The germ of the idea was theirs, and it really kickstarted the creative process for me. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that, and we sold it to Little Brown, our fabulous publisher. And then I started revising. And around the time I was finishing the first book, we found out that the CW was interested in turning it into a television show. And they had commissioned a pilot and found a wonderful writer and showrunner. So the book was there first, but the show happened really quickly, which was really exciting. And we sort of developed them sort of parallel, so there wasn't a ton of collaboration, which I think is great, because I think it allowed us to make choices that worked best for each of our mediums. And then the book came out in fall of, I guess, 2000. 14, 13? I've completely forgotten, and then the show premiered 6 months later.
Yeah, well, 13 it must have been, and then the show
Yes.
came in 2014. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I'm glad you're on top of
Oh,
this.
yeah. So were the book and the show always meant to be kind of cross-promoted in the way that they've kind of ended up being?
So we always thought of it as a book series first. Most of what Alloy, the creative thinking, does is do books, and then once in a while they are able to turn things into TV shows and movies, which is always very exciting. So they are just looking for, imaginative writers who want to work collaboratively, which is something that was really appealing to me. I have a full-time job as a book editor, which is amazing, but doesn't leave a ton of time for me to be working on stuff on my own. So I really liked the idea of working with a team. And so you never get writer's block. You never feel like you're on your own. You have a great team of creative people supporting you and helping you get over any roadblock that might arise.
That's awesome. But no, okay, so sort of going off that, another thing that I'm very curious about is, and this is something that I've also been watching develop, is this idea of, because obviously like the show and the book series are happening simultaneously, and the process of that, the fandom sort of existing within each other and overlapping but not really being the same, but sometimes being the same fandom, and you sort of, I imagine, being approached by a lot of show fans as well and having to engage with them as well. How does that work? How do you find a fandom, build a fandom within a fandom, I should say?
That is a fantastic question. And the answer is, I think we're still figuring it out. Because the show and the books are so different, it's really hard to, communicate with everyone in a way that feels useful and also respectful. So in the books, as you know, Clark is straight and dating Bellamy, and that's the canon for the books. And I sometimes talk about that because that's the reality for my characters. It's so sensitive because of what's going on in the show, and I just love that they made Clark queer. I thought that was a great artistic choice. I thought it was a great political choice. I think it was so important in terms of representation, and it just made her character so interesting. But I know it's so sensitive for people who sort of take offense to the idea of her with Bellamy. So I'm sort of caught in this awkward place where sometimes I want to talk about my books in that world, but it rubs people the wrong way. And I try to do my best to communicate, but it's a challenge. But on the other hand, it's so flattering and humbling and inspiring to see how invested people are in this world. So I try to remember that when I say something and it doesn't exactly get the reception I wanted it to.
Yeah, and and again, it is, and that's one of the things about the 100 fandom, I guess, the hybrid fandom of the book and show that is so fascinating, and that you are very much at the heart of, because I think it's very clear, at least, me following your Twitter, that you can be writing a Bellamy and Clark love story in the books, but watching the show, you can get really invested in the Clark and Lexa relationship and think that that is such an amazing thing that's happening in the context of the story that they're telling in the show, but sort of differentiating that from what you are writing in your books, which is ultimately a very different story and a very different Clark.
Exactly, yeah. I see them as sort of in parallel universes. So it's really easy for me to write a Clark Bellamy romantic scene and then turn on my TV later that night and be really invested in at the time, Clark and Lexa. So I actually had no problem with it at all.
Well, that's good. And I do think that like most of your fans probably feel the same way as well, and I think they can definitely appreciate the book Bellamy and Clark for being a ship, as a separate ship to whatever they happen to ship on screen, even if that's also happens to be Bellamy and Clark. But sort of going into the discussion about Rebellion a little bit, and now I just want to make sure, because I want to talk about something that happens in Rebellion that you probably don't want us to talk about before the book is released. But I do want to get your thoughts on it because it's so amazing. So I obviously received a copy to read before, so I could be up to date on everything. And lo and behold, but who should find herself finding a girlfriend in the third book but Octavia? I was so happy. That That was a wonderful surprise.
Yeah. So Octavia actually in my first draft was a point of view character. So the original idea was for her, for there to be five points of view instead of four. And we definitely, you know, had always liked the idea of, you know, one of the characters not necessarily being straight. But then it was just really hard to fit her storyline in with everyone else. We ended up cutting her. So she stayed as a character, but not a POV character. So yeah, it was really fun to have her, you know, her romantic storyline get the attention that it deserved, and yeah, sort of see that play out. So it was so much fun.
Oh, it was so nice. So was that in any way inspired by Clark and Lexa? Or was it always meant to be as its own thing?
I had always wanted one of the main characters to have a same-sex relationship. So that was always in the back of our heads. But yeah, it was very much inspired by Clark and Lexa and seeing how much the fandom, you know, wanted to see different forms of representation in the books. And statistically, if you have, you know, 100 kids on a planet, a good percentage of them are going to be, you know, gay or bi or asexual. So it felt like absolutely time to put that front and center. And there are some other minor gay characters in the books, mm-hmm. but this is the first time one of the main characters has had a same-sex relationship. So yeah, it was partly something we'd been talking about for a long time, and definitely partly because we love how the fandom pushed us in that direction and sort of demanded some of that. And I loved being able to heed that call.
Yeah, for sure. And again, you know, with Octavia, like even if it wasn't necessarily always planned, I feel like it makes total sense for that character in the way that you have built her up and finding, it's also, there's something so poetic about her finally finding someone in this hopeless place that she finds herself in, and using that relationship to give herself a little bit of motivation to find a way out, because Octavia also obviously takes charge in this book in a major way that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I'm glad you feel that way. Yeah, it felt really authentic to her character, because she's always been sort of someone who, you know, she's so pretty and knows how to use that to her advantage to sort of control and manipulate the men around her, and not in a bad way, just in a strategic way. So it felt really nice for the first person she has real feelings for to be someone a little different, and in this case, a girl. So yeah, it didn't feel at all like we were doing something that wasn't true to the character we had written over the first three books.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And also teenagers can, you know, have lots of different feelings for lots of different people. So especially for someone that age, it felt, to me, it felt authentic.
Mm-hmm. And in the show as well, and this is something that, you know, obviously you've already kind of explored with some of the other characters, in the books, like the show, sexuality isn't something that the characters pay attention to. And obviously it's very important in the real world and in fandom, but within the reality of the show and it seems your books, it's not something that anyone is commenting on or, you know, noticing or anything like that.
Yeah, that was definitely something we were going for. You know, we hope that in the future people don't feel the same sort of anxiety to pigeonhole themselves one way or the other, and that things are going to be more fluid and open. And even if you are running, you know, from radioactive deer, some things should still be better in the future than they are now. So that's
right.
What I like to imagine.
Yeah, right. It's sort of almost like I've always thought of it as kind of like the upside to the apocalypse, if you will.
Oh, like, I love that. What a great way to put it.
But it is, you know, in a world where literally everything else has fallen apart and society has collapsed, it also does push into harsh focus what is worth trying to police people and what isn't. And that does mean that you get a world, I mean, in this reality at least, or in this incarnation of what that future might look like, where people aren't going to try to stop you from having feelings for someone your own gender or whatever the hell, because, you know, like you said, they're literally running from radioactive deer, and that is not something that people are going to, hopefully, in this, hopefully in the apocalypse, you know, that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Oh, I love the way you said that. And it's something I think about when people ask me what I feel is the difference between dystopian and sci-fi, which have a lot of overlap. But
to me, dystopian is sort of, like you said, it's about the end of the world and things crumbling. And sci-fi is about what happens after. It's imagining a more hopeful future and sort of what sort of society we hope these fictional characters would create, but also that we hope we might create in that situation.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. It's something that I've been thinking about too with The 100, but really it's true for a lot of shows and books and media like this, is that there is a big need to promote positive depictions of minorities in books and TV shows and movies, and we're really seeing a strong pushback against, you know, the constant kill your gays and the fridging and the killing of minority lead characters. The 100 is one of many. The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, How to Get Away with Murder just joined the club, and it can be very beneficial in terms of how we look at our own society to imagine something completely different, to imagine a reality in which whatever, you know, has in this case a nuclear apocalypse has wiped away some of the things that divide us now, and then in the future we're just divided by other things, and how that can sort of reflect back on who we are right now and what our society is going through right now. I think that can be very interesting and very thought-provoking, obviously, for for better or worse.
Totally, yeah. And I think the show did that particularly with fiction. People are going to, you know, specifically didn't want to mention people's skin colors. I want people to be able to imagine, but that, you know, in some ways is the easy way out. And I think the show did such a great job casting people of color in so many main roles and saying, this is the world we envision. And I thought that was so cool.
For sure. So this is a stupid question, but there was one line in your book about the character of Anna, who's obviously a brand new character. And when they said something about her being really good at science, and my mind was immediately like, what female character do I know from The 100 who is very into science and very intelligent? And I don't know, am I crazy, or is there a tiny hint of Raven in there?
It certainly wasn't something I thought about. I haven't thought about it till you mentioned it, but yeah, who knows? Or it might just be the character interested in, and the type of character I feel like is resonating for readers right now. So it wasn't conscious, but who knows where it came from. Ideas and inspiration are funny things.
Yeah, exactly. And the most important thing is that you can sort of imagine it if you so want to, which
exactly,
you know, obviously.
I actually think, though, some fans of the book, their theory is that Raven and Finn were based on two characters from my book, Glass and Luke, who aren't in the show, but the show flipped them. And in my book, Luke, the guy, is the engineer, and Glass is his girlfriend, and the show made Raven the engineer and Finn her boyfriend. And I don't know if they did that on purpose, if that's just a coincidence, but if it is, I thought that was a really, really cool way to flip things around. I loved that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I never thought about that. Wow. That is actually really interesting. And there's the whole spacewalk and everything, too.
Exactly. Yeah, and I have that in my second book.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's speaking of Glass, though, like Octavia might be my favorite, like, auxiliary character, but Glass might be my favorite point of view character in your books. I love about this character is that it's a very special perspective to bring in a book like this, because, yeah, we have the badass characters, like literally everybody knows what they're doing and is rising up to the challenge in some way. And then we have Glass, who is really, let's face it, what we pretty much all of us would be like in this situation. She doesn't know what to do. She, you know, she doesn't feel she has anything to contribute. And what I loved in this book was that she finally felt like she came into her own, and she finally found a way to give herself a purpose.
Oh, Selena, I'm just so glad you pick up on all of the things that's exactly what we want. We have Clark and these other characters ready to go on this adventure and save the human race. And we have Glass, who, totally agree with you, Glass is what most of us would do in that situation. We would want to do the right thing, but we'd feel a little lost and didn't know what talent or skills we had. And that was something that was definitely part of the thought process with Glass from the very beginning. You know, she's not like Clark taking charge on Earth and figuring out how to save the human race. At first, all she really wants is to, you know, take care of her boyfriend and make sure he's okay, which, when I started writing, I had a little trouble getting into her head and connecting with that motivation because it felt lower stakes. But the more time I spent with her, the more I really came to admire
and appreciate the fact that there are different types of bravery. You know, we're not all ready to like run into battle, but it doesn't mean we're not willing to do what it takes to protect the people we love. So she's definitely a quieter sort of heroine, but one I've come to really, really appreciate and have a lot of fun writing.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like the other characters have courage very naturally, and Glass always has to find courage to have courage, if that makes sense.
Yes, and from now on, I'm going to have you write the jacket copy. You are so good at summing this up.
Well, thank you. That's my skill. No, but no, I mean, I definitely one of the things that I thought worked so well in this story. And I guess that kind of brings me to another question I have, which is this it? Is that the end? Is there going to be a book five? What's happening?
It is definitely the end for now, but that's what I thought about book three, Homecoming. So it really depends on how it's received and if it feels like there's an appetite and people are excited to spend more time in this world with these characters in book form. There could always be the one down the road, but it's definitely not something we're talking about yet. But I do like to end in a way that sets up the next one. So I definitely, book four ends in what I hope to be a very satisfying way, in a particular scene that I think you know what I'm talking about, but then definitely opens it up to a whole new adventure if that's the next step.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I guess that, you know, speaking of the elephant, the bellephant in the room.
Wait, did you say bellephant?
Oh my God. I did. I mean, yeah, we should talk about that, because the two of them, they take a huge step forward. You know, he asks her to marry him, I guess, is the, you know, they to be together. It's wonderful. Yes. It's beautiful. And I think, you know, this is one of the things that the shippers are going to just absolutely love.
I hope so. I got really excited writing it and imagining what the reaction might be, which is not normally something I do. Normally, I just write the scene that feels right for the characters in the story. But this one, even though it did feel right for the characters in the story, I definitely have the fans in mind.
Yeah, but that's good. If you can be a fan of your what you're writing yourself, you know that's a good thing. You know, yes. You're shipping the, yeah. And you know, and again, I mean, I feel like we keep circling back to this, but this Clark and Bellamy relationship in your books, I feel like it does have to come with this huge asterisk saying that it's not like Clark and Bellamy in your books is not Clark and Bellamy in the show, you know? And again, exactly. That's not to say anything bad or anything at all about Clark and Bellamy, the show incarnation. But I think in your story and the way that you've set it up, Clark and Bellamy are obviously the couple, and it's very satisfying to see them get this happy ending, because they have been through like hell, you know, lots of hells.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And especially in this book, I mean, it's not necessarily a 100% happy relationship, because they do clash over a lot of things and they have a lot of issues, and they have to deal with learning to trust each other and learning, getting to know each other. And it's even how they started, it's been very interesting to see them come together like this. It's a very, very, very nuanced relationship, really.
I'm glad. That's certainly what we tried to do. And especially for characters this age, you know, any teenager is going to grow and change a ton over the course of a year. And then imagine if you're going through what these characters are going through, challenges they've faced, they're going to grow even faster and change even more. And it is always interesting to think about how a relationship would be affected by that. And there have been things that pushed Clark and Bellamy apart. There have been things that have brought them closer together. And I was excited to see
them. Yeah, absolutely. But let me just take a look here. So I also wanted to ask you a little more specifically about Rebellion. One thing that I thought was really interesting is how much it felt like an isolated, like it was like, you know, a there and back again of the 100, where you had this very isolated incident that happened, which was that they got attacked and they got kidnapped by this horrible, terrifying cult of Earth worshippers. And what was interesting, and also working with the different points of view, is that while, I don't want to say like usual in this type of story, but in a lot of stories like this, you would have someone get kidnapped and you would have someone coming to rescue them, and that would be the story. But what's happening here is that every single different faction is like working on a separate plan at once of how to escape or rescue. So we have Bellamy and Clark storming in to be the knights in shining armor. And then we have Wells working out a plan, and we have Octavia working on her own rowing plan, and we have Glass, and we have all these different things going on. And luckily it all comes together at the end. But I was wondering, like, how did you sort of manage to keep track of all that, I guess? And how did you decide that they were all going to work on separate plans, basically?
Yes, it was very complicated, and I'm glad you feel like it worked out in the end. I certainly think so, but it's nicer. These are characters from the beginning have always fought really hard for what they believe in and the type of life they want for themselves. So it just didn't feel in keeping with their characters for the people who were kidnapped to just sort of hang around and sit tight and wait to be rescued. So it felt natural that they would come up with their own plan, and even while there are other plans in motion to set them free. Mm-hmm.
So sort of to begin to wrap up a little bit here, we kind of touched on this a little bit. So it's the end of the book series for now. How, I mean, other than sort of audience, I guess, reader reactions and stuff like that, are your plans for the book series in any way impacted by the lifespan of the show? Is it completely separate now, or are they still kind of tied together?
It's completely separate now, which I think is great. It just allows the show to have complete creative freedom. It allows me to have complete creative freedom. So yeah, if the books continue, it'll be a separate decision from plans for the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I'm like really totally sure how this works, because obviously you started from the same DNA and now you've branched off into completely different directions. But if you wanted to like introduce a character from the show, or if the show wanted suddenly to introduce Glass, could that happen, or is that not a thing?
Don't know. I think there would have to be some discussions offline between the book people and the show people. I'm not exactly sure that would work. But, you know, I think it's okay. I have plenty of characters to work with. They have plenty of characters to work with. I think we're good.
Yeah, no, I'm just, because it's such a complicated thing, I'm not sure how it all works.
Yeah, so like when people are mad that I, you know, don't have Lexa in the books, it's, well, she doesn't exist in my world. She's not my character to play with.
Yeah, and that is, I feel like that is important to clarify, because I think, you know, I'm confused about it, and I'm coming at it from sort of a really curious, like, I have no idea how this works kind of place. And I'm sure a lot of readers are similarly sort of unclear about what exactly the roles are. It's also because, you know, I mean, your books have the show characters on the cover.
Yes, they do. And, you know, it's very confusing, but the image is so cool. Who cares?
But now that we know that Finn is Glass and Raven, you know, it makes a lot of more sense.
Total sense.
So I don't know. So to begin to wrap up here, I don't know how much you do or do not know about the fourth season of The 100, but I'm kind of hoping that you don't know anything, because I would love to hear your theories about what you think is going to happen.
I know nothing, which is infuriating to people in my life who think that I'm lying about it. In terms of theories, I don't know. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh my God. I have a list of 100 things somewhere. I mean, it's tough. I think that the concept of setting an expiration date on the world is kind of an extremely bold, crazy choice that could go any possible way. And I feel like my gut instinct is to say, well, the season is obviously going to end with them having to lock themselves in a bunker somewhere because they can't stop it. But and I have this whole image in my mind, like someone is going to be stuck on the outside, like banging to get in, you know, like,
oh, my God, really, that would be such dramatic. Yes. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. But then I'm like, well, okay, but what then? Because then the Earth is broken and they're just stuck in there forever. Like, that doesn't
work. Then they go back up to space.
Oh, my God. Yes, they build another arc. Yes. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope they didn't hear me say that. But, I mean, yeah, I think I definitely think that the idea that there is no solution is an important one. Like, I want there not to be a solution. Because how that doesn't make any sense in my head. So I like the idea of them sort of fighting against time and ultimately like admitting defeat. That seems like a very show thing to do. and some people not making it in time, and unfortunately, you know, I'm like, yes, I want people to die. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I think, but it would be a really bold, creative choice, and mm-hmm. I don't know, sort of an important message for what's going on right now. We sort of, I think it's important for people to know that some choices we make can't be undone, and while we should always fight to make the world as best, you know, the best place it can be, sometimes you have to deal with the consequences of things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, and that also brings up, you know, like, obviously Clark is going to come back from the City of Light, and she's going to have to convince everybody that what she saw is something they should believe, and they won't necessarily believe her.
Yeah.
We already have hints that we're going to see a fracturing of the people again. And I think that might be what sort of causes it, is who chooses to believe her and who doesn't. We have Luna on the ocean. That might become very significant, because that might be a place that
is protected. I'm so excited.
I know. Do you love Luna? I love Luna.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just so cool. Because I watch completely as a fan. I have no idea what's coming. I'm also just very bad at making predictions. So I am on the edge of my seat for every episode.
Yeah, same. I think it's that. And that is, again, with The 100, it is a very unpredictable show. And I think that's one of the things it has going for it. Who is your favorite character on the show?
Oh, man. That's a really great question. Okay, I'll choose a character who isn't in the books. I think Raven has been so interesting, and I think her journey has been unexpected and really compelling. I love the adult characters and how they're all so flawed and make such, you know, terrible decisions but redeem themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved Lincoln. Lincoln was one of my favorites.
I love Lincoln too. Just like shaking my head over here.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He's going to be so amazing on American Gods.
He is. Oh my God. I read that book, like, totally tangent, but I read that book this summer, and it's fantastic. I cannot wait for that show. But yeah, no, I think Raven, I think for me as well. I think I love Clark. I love that she's such an incredible, horribly flawed character. You know, in all the really interesting ways, and I really like that. Are you sort of able to, like, different, like, are the characters you visualize in your head, are they completely separate from the actors that play them on the show?
It's interesting. So Eliza looks exactly like the Clark in my head. So I pretty much imagine the same. And Marie also looks exactly like the Octavia I had in my head. And the other ones, I mean, the casting was superb, but they are slightly different. So, yeah, so I sort of have a different book Bellamy in my head. I have different book, you know, Wells, and now I can't even remember who else has overlapped. So it's been fun. It's been fun. I sort of like having Eliza as my Clark in my head. I feel really lucky. Yeah. To have her running around in my imagination.
Yeah, for sure. And I also just want to thank you. I almost forgot. I really want to thank you for keeping Wells alive in the books. You know, I mean, it seems stupid, because like that decision has nothing to do with what happens on the show. But I still think it's one of the saddest things that that happened, is the death of Wells. Like, I can't stop thinking, like, what would it be like if he was there? Like, what would he be doing in this episode, or if this happened, you know?
That would be fun for people to write some fan fiction about that. I think that would be such like a cool alternate history.
Yeah, like a little meanwhile, Wells is over here.
If anyone wants to do that, they have my full support.
Same. That would be amazing. Maybe in my recaps, I should just start having like a little section like, this is what Wells would be doing.
WWWD.
Yeah. I just start writing it from Wells's perspective. There you go. That's
the ghost of Wells.
Yeah. Oh, so sad. Yeah. What do you think about Bellamy in the show? Something else I wanted to ask you.
Oh, I love him. I think Bob is just an extraordinary actor. I think the writers have given him such great material. So he's a little darker than book Bellamy, a little tougher. My sort of book Bellamy is a little more mischievous, playful, but I mean, I love what they've done with that character. So I'm fascinated and have a little bit of a crush, which is weird for a character you've created, but I think it's okay. I'm going to accept it and move on.
Yeah, I also would say that you're probably not the only author who has a crush on
who else?
on
Who
their
else do you
character.
think?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Like I'm
Yeah, basically, you know, novels are just people's fantasies. So
exactly. I feel like you have to. I feel like if you have your main character and they fall in love with someone, it has to be someone that you would also fall in love with.
Ooh, that would be a great question to ask other people on your podcast, whether their characters fall for other characters that they couldn't. Well, that's so interesting. I'm
going to
think about that one.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we should begin wrapping up now. I don't want to keep you. I know that you are at work and you have to get back to your actual job. But is there anything else that you want to, that we didn't cover, that you want to talk about? Is there anything that you feel like your readers should know?
I don't think so. Your questions are so good. This was just, I hadn't thought about any of this. So this is wonderful. And I haven't thought about Rebellion yet. So this is really, I just wrapped up a new project, a new book that is not set in the world of the Hundred. It's completely separate. And I can't say anything about it yet because I think there's going to be a reveal at some point. But if people are interested in knowing what's next for me in the book world, just follow me on Twitter and I'm gonna have fun news about that soon.
Oh my God, I can't believe you dropped that like at the very end. Now I'm like, what? That's so exciting. That's so good to hear.
Oh,
that's
thanks,
really
Selena.
Wonderful.
I appreciate that.
Can you say that? Is it, what genre is it? Can you say that?
It's also young adult science fiction.
Oh, fun. That's so exciting.
Yes.
Well, I will be looking forward to that. And then my final question is, we do this thing on Hype where it's called How We Hype, and we basically reveal what's catching our attention in fandom right now. What are we huge fans of at the moment? So how do you hype?
I guess right now it's a little bit expected, but I'm so into Game of Thrones. And if I had time, I would totally be writing Daenerys and Tyrion fan fiction.
Interesting.
Yes, I just love their dynamic and the fact that they have such great banter and they're both so ambitious and scheming, so I'm really into that. And yeah, so I guess that's what I'm hyping right now. Yeah, I'm a shipper.
Awesome. What is your biggest ship of all time?
Ooh.
Like on the spot.
I don't know, because I can't think of anything that I was like watching or reading where I didn't really know how it was going to turn out. But the ship that I like reading about and I love that other people loved it so much was Harry and Draco. I thought that was so interesting. And one of my favorite books recently is Carry On by Rainbow Rowell, which sort of takes that relationship and imagines it in a different magical setting. So I'm definitely hyping that. So any Draco Harry fan should definitely read Carry On by Rainbow Rowell.
Oh, fantastic. That's so much fun. Have you seen Fantastic Beasts?
I have, yeah. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. What did you think?
I liked it too. And yes. I was very happy with it. I'm not a huge fan of the Harry Potter movies because I love the book so much. But this was so different because it didn't build on anything that I felt protective over. So I
yeah,
could just...
it's not as emotional. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, I loved it so much. That was awesome.
Oh, good.
Anyway, we should wrap up now. This was so much fun. I'm so glad that I finally managed to get you on
yes,
the show.
Yes, thank you for reaching out. And if you are ever in New York, let me know so we can talk off the record about all the fun 100 things.
I will. Yes, I will absolutely do that. I don't know how I would ever get to New York, but I'm sure there's a reason someday.
You will eventually.
Yeah. And good luck with Rebellion, with the release. And you're welcome back anytime. We'll find a way to have you on again sometime.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Selena. This was great.
Thanks so much. And have a great rest of the day at work. And
you too.
Talk to you sometime again. Talk to you on Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks so much.